North Rock Podcast.
So how many of you are going through some kind of change in your life right now? Well, if you're not, now maybe you didn't raise your hand because you're not, maybe you just don't raise your hand in church. You're that kind of person. That's the kind of person I am. I'm like, I'm going through that, but I'm not going to raise my hand. So I get that. But you know, really, change is life. And life is change. Do you know that? And it's important when you're going through changes in life to kind of remind yourself of that. Because the only people that aren't experiencing change are dead people. And so if you're alive and somehow you're not experiencing any change, it's like you're one of those walking dead type people, you know. So change is what life is all about. The problem with change is that sometimes one change layers and overlaps into another change. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, we're always in some kind of transition in our life. We're in personal transitions, a business transition, and then a church transition. I mean, the church transition is like, aren't there some things in my life that aren't supposed to change, like church? It's just supposed to comfort me and make me feel good about the world. You know what I mean? That's how I feel anyway. And so then, even when church, the thing that's kind of supposed to give me emotional comfort and provide some stability in my life, and then when that changes, it just seems crazy. Is anybody with me today? And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm thinking, okay, sometimes I'm not thinking about the number of changes that have started to stack up in my life. We're already living in the greatest time of change in all of human history. Has anybody ever noticed that? Environmentally, politically, technologically, spiritually. I mean, does anybody even watch the news anymore? I don't know about you, but I watch the news and I just think, what's going on? And then I try to manage my own changes, and sometimes I don't think about how many changes are starting to kind of stack up in my life. And this is just a hypothetical example. It's not anything that happens in real life, but hypothetically, one's wife might say to one, it seems like you're so uptight and grouchy. And again, it's a hypothetical situation, but one might respond to that hypothetical situation in which one's wife says, it seems like you're so grouchy. One might respond back to that and say, I am not. I'm not uptight. So when you're starting to feel that stress in your life, you might push back a little bit and look at your life and ask yourself the question, am I managing or trying to manage a number of changes in my life at the same time? Now, think about just for a moment. Take just a moment and really think about your own life right now. Sometimes changes overwhelm us because we don't take time to just think about what they are. How many are you trying to manage right now? Just think about it. Think about your relationships, your work. Are you moving? Have you lost people in your life? Are you going through a transition in your church? Or whatever. Think about all the things that happen. Even, you know, our little kids grow up. Those are changes, and there are losses involved and gains, right? Because in every change, there is some kind of loss. Often, there are almost always gains as well, but it takes us longer to figure out what those are. Are y'all with me? So here's the question. What do you do when things change? How can you prepare yourself to be a person who manages change better? Because the issue is not how do I prepare myself for the specific changes, because that's the whole point. You never know what's going to change. So you can't prepare yourself for changes before they come, but you can prepare yourself to be a person who can roll with the punches better than perhaps that you are. So that's the question. How do I prepare myself so that when changes come, it doesn't derail me. It doesn't make me, for instance, in some hypothetical sense, a grouchy guy. Well, I want you to, if you have a Bible, flip to it, slide to it, click to it, whatever, however you get to your Bible. Turn to Acts chapter 3 and just kind of click there, get there. But before we read that, I want to talk a little bit about the book of Acts. Because the book of Acts is the change book in the Bible. And let me tell you why. The book of Acts is like a hinge book between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, I realize the Gospels are there before there, but it's really the book of Acts that's all about change. Wherever you cut into the book of Acts, it bleeds change. Now, the word change isn't even in that book. But no matter what story you're reading, it's about change because everything was in transition in the book of Acts. Think about a couple of things. First of all, it was the book that transitioned the people of God from the Old Testament to the New Testament. What do I mean by that? Well, you know, in the Old Testament, everything was regimented by rules and the ceremonial law of Judaism. And I don't know, how many of you ever read Leviticus? Really? You people are crazy. I don't recommend it at all. I mean, the book of Leviticus is like it's all, you've read it, right, Elijah? Like one time maybe? Twice. Yeah, I bet. I'm going to skip over that part. Psalms. Yeah. The Levitical book, the Leviticus, is all about all of the minute rules that the Jews had to live by that dictated everything in their life. And then, boom, Jesus came, sent the Holy Spirit, and now it's not about a religion about rules. All of a sudden, it's about a relationship with God and the Holy Spirit. But that's crazy change. And so now, all of a sudden, it's not meeting the requirements of all these rules. It's about living in relationship with God. And think about it. In the book of Acts, it's a dangerous, dangerous time of change. It's not only change itself, it's change in the midst of being threatened by the Roman authorities. Right? They crucified Jesus. Now they're after the church and they're out to get these guys. And as well, remember, in the book of Acts, there's no New Testament scripture. So every day, these people were waking up and just asking, okay, God, what do we do today? Every day, they had to trust God. What a bummer. Every day they had to trust God. Every day they had to actually depend on Him. I don't know about you, but I don't like to do that. I like to be able to sort of structure my life and keep everything in control. That's why I don't like change. Unless it's my idea. I like change as long as it's my idea and not my wife's idea. She's not here today because she works in the emergency room. But Dee likes to change things. You know, I come home and she's literally, this has happened many times all over the house. She's pulled the toilet out of the floor, put it in the hallway, taken the sink out in, and says, we're going to redo the bathroom. What do you mean we're going to do? I need that toilet to be over that hole. I depend on these things in my life. You know what I'm talking about? And I don't like it when people impose change on me because I'm trying to structure my life, really, if truth were to be told, so I don't have to trust God so much. That's why I like control and predictability and routine. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, yes. And it's people like Dee that ruin it for me. And you know I'm right about this because you know her. Now, so the book of Acts, everything is changing. And even though the word isn't used in the book of Acts, wherever you flip it open, wherever you cut it open, wherever you read, you are going to read about change. Because you're going to read about people who are waking up every morning and asking, what do we do today? Let us hear from God. So let's just recalibrate our heads and our minds and our hearts today to say, look, we have to be those kinds of people. Can you hear that? We have to be people who start saying, Jesus, what are you doing now in my life? What are you doing in the world? What are you doing in the church? And instead of just, you know, creating anxiety, we have to live in faith. So, with that in mind, let's read Acts chapter 3, starting with verse 1, and I'm just going to read it with you. Acts 3. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. Can anybody say amen? Okay, yeah, I hear that. But what I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped up to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising and jumping, by the way, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? All right, so here's the story. Obviously, the takeaway when you read this story is, wow, a guy got healed. But I want us to remind, I want to remind all of us that really the story begins in a very mundane, ordinary way. Peter doesn't say to John that morning, John, let's go heal a guy. Right? That is not happening. You know what happens? You know what the real story is? The real story is it's a dangerous environment. The Roman authorities are head hunting, not in a metaphorical sense, in a literal sense. They are head hunting Peter and John. But Peter and John get up and they go to the temple to pray. Why? Why? It was 3 in the afternoon. Big deal. But do you see the point? You know what they were doing? They were simply being faithful. That's it. They were doing the little things in their lives regularly and faithfully. They went to the temple to pray, even though everything had changed, even though they were in danger, they did the little things all the time. When everything changes in your life, what doesn't change? Because what doesn't change determines how deep your roots go into the ground. And no matter how dry it gets, you have sustenance because you are faithful. When things change in your life and you're like the sands, when you're like the castle built of sand and you're always all over the place, you are in grave danger. Not because of the change, but because you are not prepared for change through a life of faithfulness. We can't do miracles. All we can do is show up on time. When things change in your life, it's like being shaken down, man. And you are revealed for who you are to yourself. That's why we don't like change. That's why certain people, hypothetically speaking, are asking other people, hypothetically speaking, why are you so grouchy and grumpy? Well, because. I don't know. Listen. Here are the things for me. When things are changing in my life, sometimes I can get fearful about money and God taking care of it. Listen, change will always confront your fears. Even if the change doesn't particularly hit your fear right on the button, it will confront your fear anyway. Does that make sense? All changes will get around to confronting the fears that are already there. And often it's about money. You know, I have to say, you know, as I've been a member of this church for 5 years since I pastored it myself, it's different being a member than being a pastor. Can I just have a quick, honest talk with you now? So I was always encouraging people to give. Now, I've been tithing and giving regularly since I was 12 years old. I actually started tithing before I got saved. That's a long story. But something happened, and I realized that's real, and it works. And I started tithing when I was a kid, receiving the blessing of that before I actually came to Christ. I know that's nuts, but that's what I did. And I was talking about that as a pastor. Now, as a church member, I come to church with my beautiful wife, who is not here, and you can tell she's not here because I'm telling stories about her. But so I always get a little embarrassed when they pass the bag, because we give on the online thing. So I'm always saying, no, you know, just pass it on. But we do, you know, give. We give, we tithe plus. And it comes automatically. Does everybody? Will everybody just acknowledge that I do that? Because it really would. Because I don't care about getting credit and glory at all. I just want everybody to know that. So that's one thing. But then D always brings the checkbook to church, and I'm. This is the truth. This has nothing to do with message. This is just therapy for me. Every time she brings a checkbook. Every time there's something. And there's always something. You know, we need this, we need that, and oh, well, we're going to do this. And every time, Dee's like, oh, well, that is God. We need to be doing that. I'm thinking, what? And she sits there and writes a check. Oh, I think we ought to do this. Don't you? No. I don't think we ought to be doing that. We got bills, woman. But listen, there's no way to confront an issue of lack of trust in God except to give to God. And I want to tell you, this is a great church. We've got to resource the work of God together. But it's really not about that. It's about, as Aaron really said really well, setting me up for this, it's really about our trust in God. Be faithful. Be faithful not for the sake of the church even. Be faithful to God for your own sake. Amen. Be faithful in money. Here's another thing. Be faithful in being together as the church. Now, this is one of my things too. I'm telling you all of my problems. But I tend to be a recluse even when I'm happy. You know what I mean? And when things go bad, I get even, because I'm naturally an introvert. People think that because I'm like this on stage, I'm like this. But as soon as the service is over, I close down. Please don't talk to me. And people that are close to me know this about me. And when I'm going through change, I really want to, you know, be reclusive. You have to be with the people of God. You have to give to the work of God. And here's the third one. You also have to take care of God's temple. This is a big one. When you're facing change and anxiety and stress, often you're neglecting your body. Huh? I'm just telling you the truth. And I'm not talking to, you know, I'm not talking about being some kind of marathoner. I'm just talking about exercising, eating the right things. Don't neglect yourself. Don't neglect trusting God. Don't neglect the community of God and being together. Those are just a few things. Are you with me on these things? These are really, really big things. You see, if you have that root, those roots in your life, you won't be as shaken as easily, and you can manage change. Peter and John went to the temple to pray because that's what they always did. Number two, when things change, let God be God. They go to the temple and they find a beggar. Does it ever seem to you like the entire world is a beggar? That's why Dee opens the mail now, Deanna, because there's a beggar always in the mail. There's a beggar everywhere. You know what I mean? There are needs everywhere. And most of us can relate with what Peter says. Silver and gold have I none. Most of us say, amen. Our problem is that's where we stop. We stop with our lack, and we stop with our loss. And that's how we define our situations. Now, it's not bad to have lack or loss. In fact, you know, some faith preacher people, you know, they'll try to tell you, don't say you're sick. You know, come on. Don't say that you have lack, even though you're broke. It's not wrong to, as Peter says, say, I don't have it. It's okay to say, I don't know. It's okay to say, I feel loss and grief. You know, no one is more excited about having your new pastor here than I am. I've worked almost every day with Chad Carroll for 20 years. There's no one I have more trust in, and no one in the world, as far as I'm concerned, that has any more integrity than he does. And let me tell you what, he is a coach's coach, and he is going to fire you up and get you on. But you know what? As excited as I am about that, I also have feelings of real loss because the Pummels aren't here. Anybody else feeling that today? I mean, I feel that's real. That's real loss. But you can't camp out on your losses. Now, let me say something really important. You also can't judge anyone else by how long it takes them to recover from a loss. Never do that. It might take you years to get over what someone else seems to be able to get over in a short time. Everybody has a different schedule. But what you have to do is ask yourself, have I camped on a loss too long? Am I defining myself by the loss? Am I defining myself by a lack of whatever and a feeling of inadequacy? Because Peter said, I don't have silver, I don't have gold, I don't have it, but yet he opened his hand and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed, walk. And God did a miracle. And God's going to do a miracle in this church. Our goal is not just to survive. It's not just to make it to the next pastor. It's not just to hold on, it's to pray and hold out our hands for a miracle, something totally out of the box that God wants to do in this community. He wants to do that. Whenever there are transitions or intersections in your life, that's the moment. It's the moment that you're feeling the most inadequate. It's the moment that you feel the most loss and the most lack that God wants to go, boom. And do something fresh and new in your life. Are you up for that? You can't control that, but you can live life like this and not like this. Are you with me on that? Let's pray that God would do something fantastic in this church. There's no doubt in my mind that God wants to use this place and these people, all of you, to reach many, many others. You know, I oversee 130 churches in 5 states. Wherever I go, that people always say the same kinds of things. Oh, Sam, we're praying for God to do a miracle and a revival here. And I always say the same thing. I always say, oh, yes, 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 yeah, whatever. But inside, I'm kind of thinking, yeah, right. Because really, when God does miracles, we're going to see this in just a minute. When God does miracles, chaos breaks out. People always want, oh, I hope God's doing miracles. Ooh. Well, are you willing to lay everything down like they did in the book of Acts? Remember that part? They gave everything. They were in danger in the book of Acts. They had to change like crazy in the book of Acts. You ready for that? You're ready for this place to be full of people and all kinds of things changing and chaos? Because that's what's going to look like when people start getting saved like crazy around here. Let's be ready for that. Let's don't pray for it. Let's brace ourselves for a miracle. Amen. And that leads me to the third thing. When things change, stand up and lead. A couple things in your head. First of all, when things change, be faithful. Did you get that one? Be consistent about the little things. Secondly, when things change, express faith in your life. God will do something miraculous. Number three is when things change, spread faith. Because when God does miracles, people go crazy. When God does something new, there's always an element of chaos in it. You know, we always read this story and think, well, there was a revival because someone was healed. Yeah, kind of. But really, I think there's a revival because Peter stood up. That's why I read the last verse there. Follow me. Peter stood up when he was already a target to tell people what God had done. They were astonished. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, they go into this public place, and the text makes a real point of that. Solomon's Colonnade, the Gate Beautiful. This is a very public place. This is where all of your enemies are waiting to cut you down. And now we have this guy jumping and leaping and praising God. Hello, Lord. Did I get that right? And just at the time when Peter should have been lying low, I want you to get the real what's really happening. Just at the point when Peter should have gone, whoop, he stands up and he says, this is what God is doing. Now, wherever it is in your life that you are, God is giving you the opportunity to do that right now, I promise you, if you'll notice it. And that is not to spread anxiety, but to spread faith. Can you relate with that? Do you know that anxiety is like a current that runs in social channels? Think about that a minute. Have you ever experienced that? You get like you're just feeling fine, you're like cool, everything is just great, and then you bump into an anxious person. I don't know if everything is changing, I don't know what to do. I'm so full of fear. I'm like, and all of a sudden, I don't know what to do. I'm so full of fear. I'm full of anxiety. I'm not even sure why. I feel fear. Hyperventilating. And then you go stick it on somebody else. And then all of a sudden, it's like it's, fear, anxiety. Are you kidding? I'm making Deanna. Good, it's working. Listen, we used to tell people, you know, we could look in the church and see this. There were the people who carried water and the people who carried gasoline. They were either putting fires out or whoosh, wherever they go. This is like this whole track of anxiety and fear. Watch it. Hold him off at the corner. Spread faith. What is God doing? You know, that's all Peter did. You can make this about, oh, he preached a great sermon. You know what he did? He said, this is what God is doing. And wherever you're at, whether it's the kitchen table or the break room at work, any of you have a break room at work? Break rooms at work, that's where Lucifer fell, okay? I mean, I used to have a break room, and that was a place, as soon as people go into a break room, I don't know what it is about break rooms at work, but people go in there, and it's like, I was slinging my neck, I was thinking about cactus, and it's just, the boss in the world, and Obama, oh, Obama, 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 oh, it's everything bad, you know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? Some of you are going, how did he know? That's break rooms, man. I dare you to be a person who spreads faith. It will get very quiet in your break room. Well, this is, I think God's, you know, don't be spiritual and don't be one of those people. Oh, I have a scripture for thee. Don't do that. Just say, you know, I know it's really bad and it's really hard and it's really anxious, but maybe God's saying this. I don't know, maybe it could be. You know what I mean? And see if you can, is that okay to say that? Be faithful. Express faith in God. And then spread faith while you're going through change. If you will do those things, you will be a person who will grow during times of change in your life rather than being knocked out of the game. All right? Let me tell you, just before we pray, some of the things that are coming up in the next few weeks. Pastor Chad's vision during this time until we install him in September is to have a kind of family reunion. So he's going to be having little videos in the morning and on the weekend during our services, and you'll see Pastor Chad on a video. He can't be here yet because I have work for him to do. He's in Kansas now, yeah, doing a tour of some of our churches there. So in September he'll come and I'll install him, and we're going to have a big service, and we're actually going to have a big barbecue outside to celebrate this whole thing. It's going to be awesome. But until then, he's going to do these little videos, and he's calling this family reunion. And you're going to hear from, we're going to have some people here who have planted churches, a number of them all. You know about John Horner, right? But we've actually planted many others. And we're actually with some of our people that you don't even know, but who used to be in our church. We're planting another one in Brighton, for instance. And you're going to hear from all of these people, because before Chad comes, he wants us all to have a sense of who we are as a family before we point toward the future. So it's really going to be an important part this coming August. Please be here for these times when we're here together to say, this is who we are, this is what we've done, and now this is where we're going. Is that cool? Let's pray. So Lord, tonight, or this morning, help us to be faithful in little things in our lives. Help us to trust you with our resources. Help us to take care of our bodies, even when we feel stressed and we don't feel like it. Help us, Lord, to be together and to come together, even when we feel like we'd rather be alone sometimes when we're hurting. Thank you, Lord, for the people who have so much courage to come and to be a part of this community, even though we all feel at times inadequate and unloved. Keep us coming back, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all the people who are expressing faith by trusting you especially in this time of challenge. And Lord, I pray that you would heal us and bring strength to our body and our soul as we take care of ourselves. And Lord, I pray that in each person's life you do miracles right now. And maybe you're thinking about what you can't control and you need a miracle. I want to ask you to just kind of open your hand right there on your lap and just say, you know, let's don't live with a fist hand. Let's live with an open hand. We don't have what we need, as Peter said, silver and gold have I none. But in the name of Jesus, do a miracle, Lord. Do a miracle in my friend's life today. Do a miracle in our church. Do a miracle, Lord, where we don't have the answer, where we have loss. Lord, we anticipate your supernatural working in our lives. Would you make that your prayer in your own transition? And maybe there are a number of changes you're going through now. Would you pray? Say, Lord, I'm going to quit worrying. I'm going to quit being anxious. And I'm going to believe for you to do something fresh and new. I'm going to anticipate that. And then, Lord, we're going to spread faith. Not fear, not anxiety, not worry, not negativity, but faith. What are you saying to us? What is your perspective? Lord, we want to carry that perspective. We want to have that story define us. And you know, we didn't do this in the other services, but it's the last service, right, Sean? We can do whatever we want to do. I'm going to ask you to take somebody's hand. I'm going to do that too. Oh, you're playing the piano. Let's pray for our new pastor. Should we do that? While we're still kind of feeling the loss, and we will, and it's good to. Don't be afraid to talk about it and feel it. But even while we're feeling the loss of Jeremy and Amy, let's pray for our new pastors and their family. Anticipate what God is going to do, huh? Take somebody's hand next to you if you can, if they seem like a friendly person. Lord, we thank you for Chad and Jody and Cameron and Caitlin. Lord, we thank you for all the years that they just labored in this church for many years without any compensation or any kind of recognition. He just did it because it was who he was. And now he's going to be the pastor of the church. Thank you for Chad, Lord. We thank you that he was actually born right here in this community. That matters to us, that he's one of us. He lived here. We thank you, Lord, that he also he lived a really tough life. He didn't have a dad growing up. He was in a lot of trouble as a kid. And he knows what it's like, the struggle in life. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that you were preparing him to lead us. And now, Lord, we pray that you would prepare us to follow and also to lead with him. Lord, so often in life, we just want someone to take care of us. I know I feel that way all the time. But Lord, you want us to step up. You want us to lead. You want us to take responsibility here. And Lord, as our eyes are closed, we're imagining, what would it be like if all the chairs were full and all the services were full and we had to add more services? What would we have to do to help? We couldn't just sit. We'd have to really start to serve because we're the ones who are here. We're the old folks, even if we're new now. Lord, give us that willingness because you want to do a miracle in this place. Praise God. Would you just take a moment and just thank him for that? Just kind of, you know, not clapping, but just while you're holding some, just say thank you, Lord, just real softly with your voice. Just kind of, you know, no one even has to hear you, but just express that thankfulness to the Lord with me. Lord, we thank you for that. Let me hear you. Just a little murmur there. Yeah, come on. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. Thank you for preparing us for a new season of good change. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, Check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.